This child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of the state should never fail in chasing an enemy. The Himalaya mountains are famous for all richness. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these great mountains, and he will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and the spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. On the surface of the earth, there are so many disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age, the people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth. And still the earth is forbearing to the inhabitants, like a mother who excuses a child. Parents are always tolerant to children for all sorts of mischievous acts. An ideal king may be possessed of all these good qualities, and the child Parikshit is foretold to have all these qualities in perfection. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangolam Gayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dina Tarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So this child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter as the Himalayan mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. So here is being described the birth of Maharaj Parikshit and all of his wonderful Vaishnav qualities. Today is a very auspicious day. It's for many reasons. So today is Vasant Panchami, which is the first day of spring. It is also the appearance day of Vishnu Priya Devi, the consort of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's appearance day, Pundrik Vidya Nidhi's appearance day, Raghunandan Thakur's appearance day and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's appearance day also. So, just say a little short statement here about this Vasant Panchami. So, King Vasant, the personification of the spring season, heard that Lord Gauranga would appear in the flower-bearing spring. And he became jubilant and ecstatic and began to dance with his five brothers who represent the other five seasons. So today is the day of new beginnings, of the fresh season of new growth. It's also my good fortune to be able to speak here today, my first class here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So request the blessings of the Vaishnavas. I can say something which is of inspiration and of benefit, and which is in line with our acharyas. So it's mentioned here that this child will be as strong as a lion. And I like this statement Prabhupada makes, how one should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So children like lions, you know. My daughter, she's 2 years old. One of the first animals that children get to know is the lion, you know, because such outstanding features in the lion. Beautiful animal. Hmm? Has anyone seen a lion before? Huh? A few, maybe a third of people. Seen a lion, you know. People go to safari to see the lions or to the zoo, you know. If you go to safari and you don't see a lion on the chase, it's like, you know, it's unfulfilling. So people like to see, you know, that lion, the qualities of that lion. So here it's mentioned how this quality is attributed to Maharaj Parikshit. But then also qualities like forbearance, tolerance, maybe contradictory, that he is as powerful as a lion. Yeah, he's extremely humble and tolerant. So I was thinking how in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are so many references to the word lion. There were so many references to Lord Chaitanya, how he is a lion-like personality. Chaitanya Simha. Everyone is familiar with Simba, you know, the Lion King. But this is Chaitanya Simha. So even the Sanskrit root is pervading around the world, the language of Sanskrit. Simha, Simba. So I found that interesting. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, appeared in Navadvip, which is the city of nine islands. Yeah. It's like, you can say it's like the transcendental Venice, where the city is divided by various rivers, holy rivers, the Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, and others. And he appeared in the medieval age under Mughal rule. And in that time, in Navadvip, it was like the seat of learning. There were so many pundits there and scholars. And generally, the sub-Vedic principles were being practiced. So like Nyaya, logic, and Niti Shastra, or debate and ethics. So these were kind of the mood of the day. So pundits, they would debate all of these type of subjects. And so in that place, Nimai Pandit appeared some 530 years ago. And he became famous as a scholar in his childhood, Nimai Pandit. In fact, when he was walking on the street, people would go to the other side and walk because they were afraid to debate with him. When he debated with them, they would be defeated by his arguments very easily. And then he would make further arguments which would counteract his first arguments. And then again he would make arguments which would counteract the previous arguments. And like that, people were completely bewildered by this young, charming boy, Nimai Pandit. But as he grew older, and he became married to Lakshmi Priya, and then his father passed away. He went to Navadvip. He was going from Navadvip to Gaya to perform the last rites of his father. On his way back from Gaya, he met his spiritual master Ishwar Puri, who gave him the holy name. The initiation ceremony was performed. And on receiving the holy name, he became mad, ecstatic. And it was a completely different person. He changed. So it was thought that when he came back to Navadvip, that he'd gone mad. Because when he heard the holy name, he was crying profusely. And he was trembling. And he would fall on the floor. And they thought that he was ill. Like he had a mental illness. Yeah. So this was his condition. And so he came back a very different person. And in the separation while he was away, his wife, Lakshmi Priya, passed away. Then he was remarried to Vishnu Priya, whose appearance day it is today. And so Vishnu Priya, she is just like the goddess of fortune. And her temple is there in Navadvip today, the Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu temple. And it's said that this form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful form, because there are different mudras of deities, different hands, formations. Sometimes we see Lord Chaitanya with both hands raised. Sometimes we see with one hand raised and one hand down. So here, this temple, his hands are both forward, giving blessings from both hands. So not only is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Mahavadanyaya, extremely merciful, but in this particular form, he's most merciful. Now, in this company of Vaishnavas, because from becoming a pandit, he attracted all the Vaishnavas, and they were just thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if Nimai Pandit became a devotee? And so when he came back from Gaya, they were very happy that he had become a devotee of Krishna. And so he came to the house of Srivas Thakur, where he would perform Nam Sankirtan all day. And the chanting was so ecstatic that not only would he chant all day, they decided they would chant all night as well. All day and all night they would chant. So it said here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that in the chapter, the external reasons for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Simhera Navadipe Avatar, Simha Griva, Simha Virya, Simhera Hunkar. Thus the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvip. He has the shoulders of a lion, the powers of a lion, and the loud voice of a lion. So can you imagine that? He has this beautiful form, a golden form, with long black hair, and long arms which would extend down to his knees. And long legs. He was very tall. Said that he's 7 foot tall, and he had a thin waist and broad chest with wide shoulders. And he would dance. And when he would chant, then it said here, Sei Simha Vashuk Jivera Hridaya Kandera Kalmastri Radha Nashe Yahana Hunkara. When he would chant, may that lion be seated in the core of the hearts of every living entity. Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine vices. So when he would chant, people's hearts would tremble. And all of the ahankar, which was in the heart, all of the false identification would be driven away. And it's described these qualities like elephantine. They're enormous. So the lion is so ferocious that it can even attack a huge animal like an elephant. And so we see that by the chanting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could chase away these elephantine vices which are in the heart. So it's a wonderful meditation on the lion-like qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the Sankirtan movement didn't end at the house of Srivas Thakur. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he wanted to spread the chanting of the holy names all over the world. And so then he left Vishnupriya Devi in Navadvip. And it said that... So he left her in Navadvip. So why did the Lord, he takes sannyas? It's highly, highly unusual that the Lord, who is the supreme enjoyer, Brajendananda say, Sachi Suta Hoila say, Balaram Hoila Nitai. Sachi Suta Hoila Jay, Balaram, sorry. Can you help me out here, sir? Rajendrananda Jay Sachi Suta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. So Lord Krishna, who is a supreme enjoyer, he gave up his position of lordship, of being the supreme enjoyer, to take sannyas. Why? Because he wanted to give that great wealth of the spiritual world to everyone. He wanted to give that Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan to everyone. And so therefore he left his beautiful wife, Vishnupriya, took sannyas, and he traveled around India preaching the glories of the holy name. So in other places it's mentioned, La Sveda Kampa Vaivaryam Shrupulaka Hunakar Nija Anga Dhuri Age Chale Ashrudhar. As usual, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, there were perspiration, trembling, fading, tears, jubilation, and roaring. Indeed, the tears from his eyes washed his body and those before him. So like that, he was traveling around the world, India rather, and he was engaging everyone in this Harinam Sankirtan, and his chanting, his roaring was, you know, penetrating the hearts of so many people. And he said that when Lord Nityananda danced in his kirtan, the ground would tremble as well. So this was the effect that Gaura Nithai were having on the world. And so like that, there were so many descriptions. There's over 100 descriptions of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it has these lion-like qualities. So he's very bold in his preaching. Yet Prabhupada says one should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So Prabhupada, he also had the qualities of a lion. He was so bold at the age of 70, he traveled around the world just to give the holy name and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to everyone. People were surprised when Srila Prabhupada spoke, because when he got up off the Vyasasthan, he was small in stature. But when he was on the Vyasasthan and he was speaking, it was like, you know, even if there were only a few people in the room, Prabhupada was like speaking out to the world. So this was the this was like the heart of Prabhupada, you know. He was like a lion. And therefore his name, Abhay Charanaravinda, that he is fearless, having taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And no matter who Srila Prabhupada spoke to, any leader in any field of society, whether they were educators, or whether they were in the government, or religious leaders, Prabhupada would never fail in making his point. He would never fail to get his message across. He would never be defeated by any argument. So this was Srila Prabhupada. There was one occasion where Prabhupada was lecturing and someone said, "Today, I choose to be God." You know? So unusual, like someone would just stand up and just, "Today I choose to be God." And when Prabhupada got angry, his lips would like quiver, his lower lip would tremble. And Prabhupada was looking at this person ferociously and trembling with fear, with anger, you know. And Srila Prabhupada said, "My God is all powerful." And then the man just replied, "Well, I choose to be the all-powerful God." And so Prabhupada was like, you know, enraged. And he said, "I choose to kick your face with my shoes. Can you stop me?" So he was fearless, you know. And the man said, "Give me some time." And then the audience, they just burst out into laughter. So this is Srila Prabhupada's preaching. He was completely fearless. He said, "My God is all powerful, all of the time. Why should I accept you as my God?" And then he became very soft, like a rose. Prabhupada was as hard as a thunderbolt, but as soft as a rose. He said, "Please don't waste your time on this nonsense. Try to be godly, don't try to be God. So try to be humble, humble servant of God." So we have a great tradition in our lineage, from Srila Prabhupada to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is also known as the Simha Guru, lion-like spiritual master. And so he was so heavy in his preaching, in his practice of Krishna consciousness as well. He got this title of Simha Guru. And he was even attempted assault on his life, because the caste brahmanas of that time, they felt so threatened by his preaching that when he was going around the Rajmandal Parikrama, I believe, they planned an assassination on his life. So he had to go to the extent that he took on a disguise and had his disciple dressed like him. And then that disciple went ahead, and he went off to another route so that he could escape these type of attacks. And similarly, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the Mayavadis, they saw him in the street, they were always defeated by his arguments. They would cross the street and walk on the other side. There was a story that once someone came to debate with him, and he just grabbed the person, and he said, "Why don't you accept? Why don't you accept the personal form of the Lord, you nonsense rascal?" And the person was just like completely shaken by his statements, you know. So people would cross the road and they just prefer to walk on the other side. He was so bold in his preaching. Yeah. So like that, we come in a line, a great disciplic succession of bold preachers of the holy name. However, it's also described here that Maharaj Parikshit is Sahishnuna, it's said here. Chinadapi Sahishnuna. Turoriva Sahishnuna. Manina Manadeina Kirtanya Sarari. So he's very tolerant. I said here, he will be as tolerant as his parents. So like father, like son. So this heritage is carried on in our disciplic line. So what is tolerance? So they say when life throws you lemons, make lemonade. This is tolerance. When life throws you lemons, just make lemonade. You know, just do what you can in the situation you have. Just tolerate whatever's thrown at you. The devotees used to do Harinam Sankirtan in the early days. All sorts of things were being thrown at them. So it's not like that now. We're free to go out and chant and dance on the street. And there's no fear or anxiety of being tomatoes being thrown at you. But that was the case in the earlier days of the movement. So tolerance. It said that when you squeeze lemons, you get lemon juice. When you squeeze orange, you get orange juice. Yeah? So like that. Depending what's on the inside, when you squeeze, that comes out. So if one is tolerant within and one is provoked, then that's what comes out. If one is calm inside and one's provoked, then they'll just remain calm. If one is already disturbed inside and then one is provoked, then one's disturbance will come up, you know, will show. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this verse, Trinadapi Suniche Na Torori Vasishna Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sudahari, it should be worn like a garland. Always, we should always be aware of this this instruction to how to chant Hare Krishna. To be humble like a blade of grass, to be tolerant like a tree, to offer all respects to others and expect nothing in return. And he says that we should wear this, it said that we should wear this verse like a garland. You can see in different situations, devotees have applied this. Here in London, one of the founding members of ISKCON in the UK, Mother Yamuna, she would go for the morning walks with Srila Prabhupada. And she saw that, in the morning, Prabhupada saw that she was looking, and across the street there was another lady, and she was dressed as the, you know, modern ladies would dress, in like a short skirt and with all the makeup on. And she looked at herself and how she was dressed in her sari, in her traditional clothes, very different. Well, not even sari, but they had sheets which they would dress as sari. And so Prabhupada said that she is dressing for her own sense gratification, but you are dressing for the gratification of Krishna. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. But you are dressing for the gratification of Krishna. So I thought this was quite instructive. Because these different qualities, these different Vaishnava qualities, how do we know when we should apply them in our lives? When should I be tolerant and humble? When should I be ferocious like a lion? So if we can understand that if we are acting in such a way to please Krishna, if we're thinking I should act now to please Krishna, then it becomes easier to understand how I should act. If one is trying to act for oneself, then it can cause emotional conflict. It becomes unclear, like, should I do this, should I do that? But if one wants to act in a way that's pleasing to Krishna, think, how would Krishna be pleased by my action in this situation. Then things become much easier. So whether one is being bold for Krishna or whether one is being humble and tolerant, it should be done for Krishna. So whether it's as simple as wearing your dhoti to the supermarket, wearing a sikha to the office, whether one is opening a new vegan prasadam restaurant or opening the TOVP, we can be bold in our small capacity, in whatever capacity we have. And at the same time, tolerate whatever other people think. If we're doing it for Krishna, whatever other people think, we can tolerate that. So even Maharaj Parikshit here, his birth is being foretold. And we soon see later in the Bhagavatam that in his life, he was traveling in his kingdom, traveling the world. And he was very thirsty. He couldn't tolerate that thirst. He couldn't tolerate, you know. So one would say, well, he's not tolerant, like it says here. You know, why is it that, you know, it says he's tolerant? And he had such extreme thirst. He was like suffocating with thirst. He couldn't tolerate it. So he went to the ashram of a rishi, Samak Rishi, and he garlanded him with a dead snake because he wasn't properly received with a glass of water. And then at the same time, the same Maharaj Parikshit, he chastised Kali, the age of Kali, which is 420,000 years? 432,000 years? Yet to come. Yeah. So this personality of Kali, who presides over such an extensive period of time, Maharaj Parikshit was able to curtail him. Such was his prowess. So we see these, you know, perhaps contradictory features of this great personality, and it may be bewildering. But it can be understood that he was always acting in the service of Krishna. So when he was thirsty, he wanted water so that he could continue his service. It wasn't that he had to tolerate the pangs of thirst and hunger, because he could then continue his service of ruling the kingdom, and then he could conquer the reign of Kali. So, in this way, by acting in the service of Krishna with these qualities, it becomes so much easier to know how to please Krishna at every stage of life. Then it's said here that he's a worthy shelter, as a worthy shelter as the Himalaya mountains. So there was a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, among the Himalaya mountain range, there is a golden mountain. He was telling Dhananjaya Prabhu. And so Dhananjaya Prabhu said, so shouldn't we go there to this golden mountain so that if we can collect this gold, we can use it in Krishna's service? And Prabhupada said, no, that's not necessary. And Dhananjaya again tried to, you know, ask Prabhupada, like, but Prabhupada, we've, you know, got so many financial difficulties. If we could arrange nice facilities, we can preach Krishna consciousness so much more. And again, Prabhupada said, no. If I tell you where this golden mountain is, then it will be exploited. It will be exploited. What we want is golden-like devotees. Prabhupada said, we want golden-like devotees. Because the good qualities of the devotees, they will attract everything that's required to push on the Sankirtan movement. This is what Prabhupada said. So I was thinking how here in this chapter so many different good qualities are described. And so with a practicing bhakti yogi, it said that we should aspire for these qualities. We should try to gain these different qualities. Why? To attract Krishna. As it said in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shri Krishna Karshana. That we should try to attract Krishna. This is our process. To attract Krishna. And so, got 5 minutes left, so I'll try and end here. That I want to pray to Krishna that we can, you know, develop these wonderful qualities and the service of Krishna. And be bold in our preaching efforts, but at the same time, be tolerant of how they are perceived. Because if we're acting in line with Guru and Shastra, Guru Sadhu Shastra, then greater qualities come from within. Greater qualities will develop. By the power of the chanting of the holy names, which the lion-like Lord Chaitanya roars within our hearts. So thank you, and I wish to end there. I'll just ask if there are any questions, comments.